When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends, and welcome to an unexpected podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Rain.
And we're bringing the rain today, baby. Let's go. You know, listen, dude, I'm telling you, people think we script these. They think we script these intros.
No.
And I don't know.
No, we have writers about. For that. Yeah, we have writers who write them for.
And we even wrote that little.
Don't we?
You know.
Oh, we did.
Those little pauses.
Years ago. Years ago. Yeah. Oh, the pod. Yes. Beat. Those are called beats for Kurt Jones. We need to let him know. Those are called beats. That's not another character. That's just a pause. And then we continue. Yeah. There's sometimes we write them as like, we put parenthetical. We say awkward. Sometimes we say, you know, dramatic. Sometimes we say soulful. You know, whatever you want to put in there, whatever kind of descriptive. But the beats do have a purpose. And yeah, we do. We write those ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. We make it happen, guys.
Highly produced.
We make it happen. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, we make it happen where I think right now we're about the only thing, this is going to sound braggadocious, but we're about the only thing going on in Middle Earth that's actually making anything happen.
Oh, okay. My gosh. He said it.
Because
he said it.
There's literally nothing. There's nothing going on other than.
Guys, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Nope. I mean, after, I
didn't write that in. That wasn't in the script. That wasn't in the script.
Wasn't in the script until we went off script. Yeah, other than you've got, I'm going to say this and then I want to do some catching up with you. I want to say what's up and you can catch up with you and ask how you're doing everything because I think that's more important. That's more important than what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say right now is I watched something the other day where it was like the thing that's going on, the new hot thing in Middle Earth is kissing your mother-in-law. You know what I mean? Like,
yikes. Yeah, that does not sound.
It's like that was okay. So this is again, we're talking Elrond and Galadriel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was watching this interview the other day where they were like, yeah, of all the things that we thought people were going to be upset about, that was like not even on our radar. I swear to you, they said that.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I almost sent it to you, but I don't want to stroke out or anything. I didn't want him to.
My gosh, dude.
I'm sorry.
Well,
then they literally said, if you are somebody who gets upset about that, they didn't say this literally. I like to elaborate. They said you're a troll. They said that.
Okay. I might have to just jump right into. Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to wait. We're going to bury the lead here because I was going to wait for the news. And I don't think I can anymore.
Don't wait,
I thought, I thought maybe it might be good before we, because this is what's, Ez is out doing battle, you know, and he hears this distant horn and he goes, oh my God, is that my brother Boromir? No, it's Rings of Power news. And so I must answer the call. A little different spin on it, but still, you guys get the idea. And so, you know, when we talked about recording about Rings of Power, I thought, man, it might be appropriate to catch you up because we haven't had time to talk about it lately. And even like, you know, catch uppers up with where I am in terms of Rings of Power. And I think that's kind of fitting to start off that way. So let's start off, I guess, really with the showrunners. All right. And you kind of stole the thunder right there. It's in the bottle. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to drink some. I'm going to spit it out. I think Payne and McKay are the showrunners, okay? They've been in the news with these articles that I can only assume Amazon partners are pushing at the behest of, I don't know, Bezos. Somebody is Jennifer Salke. Someone is like, get our, you know, no one's talking about Rings of Power. We noticed no one has watched it, you know, like a minute of it for 6 months, and we need to be in the news. We need some kind of feedback, even if it's negative, because we can respond to that. We love responding to negative feedback and dismissing it. But anyway, showrunners, Payne and McKay. To me, I'm trying to think of like how I actually feel about them. And I think that right there, that quote where they were saying pretty much to paraphrase that, like, yeah, the kissing thing, we didn't think it'd be a big deal. that kind of caught us off guard. I think there's one of two things happening with them. I think either they are actual fans, like they've always claimed they are, and they've just somehow become completely delusional. And I don't know if it's because of extra coin in their purse or because someone's, you know, sniffing their farts in a way they really enjoy. But I think that that's one possible explanation. Another explanation is they've never been fans. They've never been fans. That was all part of the shtick. And they don't really care about Middle Earth, Tolkien, any of that stuff. And that's fine. Both of those are fine. I just feel like both are kind of laced, though, with a little bit of dishonesty. And again, in Middle Earth, that's something we value. That's one of those. It's not like a fandom where it's all about lies and deceit and, you know, getting sexy with deception, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really all like our heroes are the ones who are honest, who do the right thing no matter what. That's kind of the basis of why we come to Middle Earth. All right. So that's kind of where how I feel about the showrunners. There's another aspect of this, though, that goes right in. And I kind of want to say, I want to lead this. You and I have both we've been feeling the Kendrick Lamar energy. We really have. I think most of us have. All right. And I kind of want to revive an old term that was relevant a couple summers ago. I think there's a lot of Kennergy going on with Rings of Power. I really do. Kennergy as in, of course, Kendrick Lamar. So this influences some Tolkien influencers, really. We've got some content creators who have got caught up in all of this. And there's many of them. But I want to call out a couple specifically. One is Corey Olson, the Tolkien adjunct professor, and the other is Nerd of the Rings. All right. Or I don't know his real name. I'm gonna refer to him as Nerd. Okay. So Corey and Nerd,
okay,
who have really spent a long time. They spent a long time kind of cultivating, or maybe you could even argue contriving this what's the right word? This standard, this credibility that they have amongst fans and in the community, right? And to see how they've kind of risked that all, I would say. Is that a nice way to say it? They've sort of risked it all for a couple exclusive, quote unquote, air quotes for people not watching, interviews and some exposure, maybe some spotlighting they wouldn't normally or otherwise have to increase viewership and get more likes and get more followers and viewers. Maybe. I don't know if I haven't checked their numbers. I don't know if that's true. But the fact that they've kind of done that, I think to myself, man, it's crazy. It's just kind of crazy to me. And I, you know, this is just all pretend, right? This is make-believe. This is Middle Earth. This is not real. These aren't real problems. These aren't real debates. Like when we call each other out and stuff, this is make-believe, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there are people who have called us out before. Plenty of them, you know? We're not Siskel and Ebert, guys. We know that. But fair game, you know, if that's going to happen to us, I feel like it's our duty as well to call others out, especially because I kind of feel like, you know, I don't know that, definitely not numbers wise, but in terms of like contemporaries, you know, when we started this game, when we started playing ball,
there
were only a few on the court, man. What's that guy? The Mac tournament. What are those called? The Gus Macker tournaments. Wasn't like one of them, dude.
Yeah.
It wasn't like whole state comes together. Hey, we're all in Columbus. We're all playing. LeBron's here and OJ Mayo and every area. Those are some deep cuts of old school basketball. But I guess LeBron is not. But OJ Mayo is. What it was. It was like, hey, do we have enough for a pickup game? I think we got five. Can we do 2-on-2 with an all-time point? Okay. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Really was. Now, since then, there have been a ton of content creators that have come out and started producing Lord of the Rings content and all different kind of angles. And that's awesome. That's great. Some of them, in relation to Rings of Power, you know, are relatively new. Some of them, ironically, have started started making content a couple months before the show came out, and they love the show. So, I'm going to leave them out of the conversation. These two are big names, and they've made a very clear stand with this show that, hey, it's great. It's great. And they've also kind of aligned themselves with the whole discussion of, you know what, if you criticize this show, there might be something wrong with you.
Right.
You know, especially if it's, now, I don't even think they're referring to people who, I think we can all agree, if you're making like racist comments, you're making sexist comments, and you really just, you hate aspects of the show for those reasons, it's not cool. You know, like that's not. That's not the goal. It's not the object. But that's not really who's even getting blasted. It's people who are just like, I don't like the story. I don't like that this is, you know, this is not, doesn't feel like Tolkien. Where are you pulling this from? What is going on? And it's those people who are getting slapped with that label of, or at least were anyway, I don't know if it's still going on, but racist or bigot or misogynist or sexist, all these different things. And that's not even the argument. We're having different arguments here, right? We're having different criticisms. So anyway, but these two have kind of aligned themselves with that, you know, Corey Olson and Nerd. They have.
Right.
And I think to myself, it's a shame because, you know, again, we were all on the same court together around the same time, started playing ball before the tournament, you know, got really picked up. And I just think, dude, they not like us. They not like us. And I think to myself, thank God.
Dang.
I just think, thank God, because, you know, I think at one time, Ez, I would have been flattered by and accepted an invitation from Rings of Power to go to a premiere. I remember that first season. I thought, like, I started seeing some of these different content. I was like, I wonder if we surely will probably get something. And we didn't. And you could say that this is all rooted in bitterness. It is absolutely not. Like, that kind of stuff would give me high anxiety, high stress. But now at this point, and I'm not going to speak for you. I'll speak for myself.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could probably almost speak for you. I feel like we're kind of aligned on this. But if Rings of Power sent me an invitation for season 3, I would say no, thank you. Appreciate it, but I'm out. I would to think it would be harder, but I would like to think that even if Warner Brothers came to me, right? I'm not going to speak for you. Came to me for War of the Rohirrim premiere or gave us some kind of exclusive whatever for Hunt for Gollum. I like to think that even then I would say thank you, honored, flattered, but no thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know how going into something with like some kind of subconscious or conscious obligation to feel like you got to kind of like something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You get invited to a premiere. Oh, wow, that's flattering. They thought of us. They didn't invite everyone. Here we are. Oh, you know, Peter Jackson came over. He said hi to us. Philippa Boyens gave us a little interview. Gosh, I don't know. I love this. This is great. This is amazing content. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It's the best thing ever created in Middle Earth. So I don't want ever to be tainted like that again. I would love to be sort of free from, I mean, I haven't been, but I think to myself, it's sort of the opposite of what brought us into Lord of the Rings in the first place. It wasn't like an invitation where my butt was kissed and, you know, they gave me a meal and I scratched their balls kind of a deal. It was literally by surprise. I went to a movie with my uncles and my dad and my cousins, and I thought, this thing is going to suck. It's for dorks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was my mindset. I was seventh grade. I was too cool for school, and I came out. My life was changed.
Changed
forever, dude, in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been the same kind of teenager I was without Lord of the Rings. I don't think I'd be the same kind of young adult, same kind of old aging man I am without the Lord of the Rings. I really don't. It's been a constant for me when other things haven't been there.
Right.
And so anyway, all that to say, they not like us. Again, nothing on them. And I would say this too, man. I would say, like, if there was a little more transparency from them, if there was even, and maybe there is, I don't watch their stuff. I don't pay attention to them. I do see the things that are controversial because those pop up when we talk about them.
Oh, sure.
Controversial as in saying, like, well, aren't the people criticizing Rings of Power kind of doing it in bad faith? And the other thing of, well, there's not really any such thing as canon in Tolkien's universe, at least not according to Mythgard University. Go check it out, mythgard.net.org.edu. Come on, sign up. I got a course just for you, honey. Mythology 101, 101. It probably is one-on-one, honestly, at this point. But anyway, I think to myself, like, there was a little more transparency from them where, like, wink, wink, you know, Rings of Power is awesome. If they were even just kind of some allusion to the fact that, yeah, we're really doing this to grow our channel. We don't actually like it. We're just doing this to kind of get some more exposure. And we're gonna go in and we're going to do God's work. We're going to, like, you know, not really promote it, but kind of promote ourselves. Trojan horse it sort of style. But to my knowledge, none of that's going on. So there's some Kenergy there. Where I've also felt some Kenergy. Am I going too long? Is this okay?
No, it's great, dude. It's great.
I figured the Kendrick Lamar thing, I knew you would
baby.
Love.
Roll.
I was like, muster the real hero. Did you see that reel? That was the best edit I've ever seen in my life.
That was actually awesome. Yeah. No, I'm feeling the energy right now. Let's
go. I also think it's going on a little bit with Warner Brothers and Peter Jackson and the camp there and Rings of Power. And I'll tell you a couple instances. We went and saw War of the Rohirrim, right?
Yeah.
To me, it was a great movie. It was a great movie. But this could just be perceived. This could be me reading too far into it or wanting to see something that's not there, you know, kind of seeing ghosts. But I caught so many trolls. And we kind of briefly talked about this earlier, but I felt like they were just kind of overtly in some places trolling Rings of Power just to screw with them. Just to screw with them. Be like, almost to kind of say, we're still the big daddies.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget, just because this is the most recent thing, that we're not the best thing, kind of a deal, like that we're not the best team to bring this to life. And one of those instances, well, I mean, there were, the movie War of the Rohirrim was full of it. Like, think sometimes the trolls were actual trolls, like the snow troll. Oh, it was like a one-for-one copy from Rings of Power. Another huge one was when Hera was climbing up that ice frozen waterfall, that ice face. Shot for shot of Galadriel. In the first episode of season one. Another one was, I thought about this a little harder. I'm like, you know, Rings of Power really tried to make orcs likable. They really tried to make orcs likable. Let's give Brian a son, mate. Let's give Brian a wife. These poor orcs, they just want a home, love. They just want a place to call home. Give them Mordor, for God's sake. It's everyone against the orcs. And they even looked at that and said, that's not how you make orcs likable, guys. How you make orcs likable is you cast Dom and Billy to voice orcs.
Right.
And then you find out after the fact. And that's the only way to make orcs likable. Totally. I mean, everything from the Watcher and the Oliphant, like throwing in these creatures that are like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this big creature thing. There were even the freaking Gandalf thing where at the very end, it's like, he goes by many names.
He's
a wizard. The name is Gandalf. And I'm like, wow, if that's not a Grandelf spoof, I don't know what is. And I thought it was brilliant because it wasn't obvious, but there had to have been something going on there where they were we're going to put in these little digs and put the little boys in their place. Another thing that I love, right? And this is kind of my last point. It's going to kind of lead into the main idea of what we're talking about here. There's another element of this trolling that's gone on too, where there was an interview. God, I want to say it was like last summer before maybe not. It might've been after season two. I can't remember, but Payne and McKay were sitting down and they were just, I don't know, I guess Amazon was interviewing them. I don't know who, Variety, whoever, whatever that magazine that promotes all that stuff, all their stuff.
Right, yeah.
It was probably them. And they said, you know, guys, who are your favorite characters in Middle Earth? You know, for the five people who care. Like when we ask people who their favorite character is, there's a ton of people who actually do care. I think with Payne and McKay, it might be like their moms, maybe their stepdads and their dog. Maybe like that might be it, but they sat there and I can't remember who it was. I'm gonna say it was Payne. Okay. And he was like, you know, my favorite character is Gollum. I love him. You know, it would be a dream of mine to somehow, you know, be able to feature him in Rings of Power. I don't think we'd be able to make it work. Although we've talked about it. I'm like, oh my God, the fact that you've talked about that,
it
might be the biggest indictment I've ever heard against you guys. And you just like openly admitted that, like, what would you do? Flash forward. Now you're going to do, hey guys, we're not going to time jump until we, you know, we go to the end of the season five. We do a time dump to Gollum. Hey guys, I got a pitch for you. I don't know why I'm making Payne Chicagoan. That's an insult to me, my roots and all my Chicago, Pete Donovan, the Donovans. I'm not, please. Right. Like another, you know, here's another idea. I got a pitch for you. Maybe it's Gollum who made the ring. Okay. Maybe he's the one who made the ring. He's a spirit inside of Sauron. Maybe that's the guy. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he manifests as this little gangly guy. You know what I'm saying? Lying fingers. Going for the ring.
Come on.
But so this interview happens, right? What do we get months later after rumors, or not even months? I think it was like a month later after years of rumors, Peter Jackson producing, Andy Serkis directing Hunt for Gollum on the slate. And I thought to myself, dude, if that's not a Kendrick Lamar line, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is. Hey, Payne, I hear you like Gollum. Guess what? We're going to make a movie about him. Like, it's literally a hey, Drake. He's just staring at the camera at the Super Bowl halftime. It's like, oh my gosh, you took the dude's favorite character and you said you're going to make a movie called Hunt for Gollum that features primarily, a huge part of it will be Gollum based, and you're going to work with Andy Serkis, the guy that Payne would love to just explore working with. Like, so incredible. So a lot of these stories, I think a lot of these stories, man, are literally, just to go back to the beginning, they're just literally kind of self-produced. I think they're putting these stories out so that, like, I almost think the whole cancellation rumor, remember after season two bombed, everyone was like, oh, dude, they're going to cancel the show. They're canceling the show. I think Amazon did that. If I had to put money on it, I'd be like, some Amazon affiliate ran that story for the first time. Other than the millions of fans who were asking for it, no one was saying that, right? I don't even know if it's even a legit thing, because, like, contractually, I'm pretty sure they signed for 5 seasons, so they can fire people.
We're not even saying that. It's like, that'd be the dumbest thing ever right now for
them. Yes, you've got to see it through. Like, that's the other thing too. But the fact that they've doubled down on all this stuff that they've just literally, and so anyway, I think all these different stories were all by them so that we could, hey, let's release a story about a rumor saying we're going to cancel the show. Okay. And then we'll give it a couple months and then we'll come out and say, hey, renewed. It was renewed, guys. It was never even a thing. I think they're doing all these stories just so that they're out there so that people don't forget they exist, because I think otherwise people would forget they exist. Even to the point where now we get this story, and this is what we're going to talk about, right? The time jumps. This is the latest thing out from Payne and McKay, the time jumps. And I think to myself, I don't even know if that's true. Like, I don't even know if I believe it. It might be a time jump so small it doesn't even matter. And I think to myself, you know, this is another, to circle back to the beginning too, of like how dumb they think we are. How dumb do they think we are? Like, the fact that they think we are dumb just keeps making them look like fools. I learned that this kind of, like, if you're going to do a time jump now after changing the timeline, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It quite literally doesn't matter. You know who taught me that one? Doc Brown in Back to the Future 2.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, old Biff from 2015 steals the idea for the Gray Sports Almanac. He goes back to 1955. He gives it to young Biff. He says, bet on this book, these scores, and you'll be a millionaire. And he changes history. Then he comes back to 2015. He returns to DeLorean. Marty and Doc, they go back in time to 1985, but it's not the 1985 they know, because there are alternate realities now. Yep. And Marty's first idea is, Doc, we got to go back to 2015 and keep old Biff from going back to 1955 and giving young Biff the book. And Doc says, you're not thinking fourth dimensionally enough.
Yep.
He's like, if we go back to 2015, it'll be the 2015 of this timeline. So in other words, if you've already made changes, if you jump forward, it's not going to make a dang bit of difference, dude.
Nope.
It's not going to make a damn bit of difference. And I think the same is here. Like, I don't know exactly what we'll talk about, but like, that is literally my summation, is you're going to do time jumps. So what?
So what?
So I mean, what?
Seriously. So, yeah, it honestly, as you just said, hold on. So you were just kind of talking about the idea that they're planting stories and that they're putting these things out there just to sort of get these reactions or get some talking points and then come back
I think it's kind of ironic and it's fun to think about, and they have the power to do that, right?
I think they do. I think Disney, I think all these companies do these different things. Yep. There's a little bit of a leak that comes out here, something there. It's beta testing. They're really just going out there and putting feelers out. They might say that doesn't happen. Baloney. I think it does. I really do. And I think because they're on the interwebs, they're checking it out. And I think it's crazy. Here's something before we jump into that time, before we jump into that time jump situation. I want to back up here and hit
you with
something.
Doc. I'm with you.
I was struck by, it was just a week or two ago, I think, or not even that, maybe, where they did an interview, and it's on Nerd of the Rings. And it's probably the one that is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
They talk about, you know, like the good faith criticism stuff, right? Bad faith, good faith, whatever that means. I mean, and I think, most of the people who are criticizing the show are criticizing it because it's not lining up to the timeline. It's not characterizing Galadriel correctly. It's not, there's a lot of things that those are legit criticisms, fellas. I mean, like, they're legit. I don't think we're just raging at a camera, raging at microphones and saying, like, this freaking sucks, dude. I can't believe you got this black elf and this and that and blah, blah. Nobody's saying that. No one is saying that. It's so bizarre to hear people started, by the way, that was how season one started, which was like, oh, we hear some trouble going on in the fandom, because, and you and I were like pro the show. We're ready to go. We've not been jaded. Yep. We have no clue. We're going into it. We're like, that's baloney, dude. If anybody is saying that, that's bullcrap. You shouldn't be saying that. And so here we are out there kind of like doing a defense for the show to get started on something that probably never even happened. You could say, as you have no idea. No, I have no clue. The actors all come out. I just happen to see it in every daggone thing as if it's like they know that it's not going. It's almost like they know their audience. This happens in Star Wars all the time. You know your audience is old. You know that they're a different generation. That's where the fan base is. And you're like, but guess what? We want to change it. So we're trying to bring all these different things in here. We know how they're going to react. So let's go ahead and hit them with these new things that are like, you know, woke or whatever. And then let's kind of almost attack them preemptively. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? We've all been alive for the past, like, if you're still here now, we've all grown. We're with you now. We're in the present. Yeah. Like, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who these people are. So there's this weird kind of energy that comes out around these shows that they almost either know are going to flop, or it's a safety net in case it does flop. And you're like, what is going on, man? So you're already stirring the pot. You've got people kind of, you know, going crazy. And there are, by the way, I will say, yes, there are a very small amount of people that are trolling, if you will, like that, or are being bigots and racist and that kind of stuff. And, you know, and everybody should call them out and whatever. But I'm just sort of like, with the platform that they have, as you're kind of pointing out, to go out there and to say those things are happening and to have different cast and crew come out and do this, it's just mind-boggling to me sometimes. Yeah. I'm sort of like, and again, they maybe legitimately are facing, they have millions of followers. I'm sure they're getting it probably before this came out. It's always interesting too that it only seems to happen when they step into these fandoms that are super older and where they've been established, and they're trying to cut a new piece in. They're trying to do something brand new, and it's always like they're going in armored up to kind of face this terrible fandom that they're about to face. And you're like, well, why are you even making anything? If this fandom is so tainted and so you know racist and hateful and all that kind of stuff, why are you even making anything in here? Yeah, money. I mean, and it's so crazy. But that's just one point. The other thing is like, I kind of feel like you're talking about different content creators and how whether or not they're going to call out the show. And it's like the fact that because I was watching this interview and it seemed like there was a moment where Nerd was going to call them out and just didn't, flat stopped. And he was like, so it's a full stop. They all kind of made a joke like full stop, right? Like we're not going to go there, right? Like we're not going to get into a fight here on your channel. It was a joke.
Remember that contract you signed? Remember?
Right? I mean,
an interview. Hold on.
Watch it. Cuz we'll
Samwise the lame,
technical
dude.
Malfunction right now on the screen.
Jeez.
I don't know. But it was just like, cuz then they go on to like he does ask them how they deal with the criticism, and they said no one's more critical than they are on themselves.
Give me a break. Yeah, sure they are.
And
they wouldn't come out of their house if they were, dude. They would never show their faces if that was true.
Yeah, right. I mean, exactly. They would right. There was I forget how they mentioned something about they said that once they started hearing some of the criticisms and the different things, that they weren't going to take sound bites or clips and like throw them at each other, like, hey, remember when I said that kiss scene wouldn't be a good idea and you said let's go do it? Well, look at this soundbite from Lane and Ez. Terrible idea. They were like, they kind of said we agreed we weren't going to do that to each other no matter what, which tells you they already knew going into this that they're making huge controversial changes to the lore. They expected this, right? They expected a lot of criticism. And it is a big fandom, and it is rich with history and lore, and they're stepping into it. As you said, I don't think they were fully prepared. I don't know if it's the crit, because seems like these interviews often have to do with the criticism about the show, and they're asked about it, and it's just sort of like that. I don't know. I don't hear that in other fandoms as much. We're not interviewing cast and crew of like the new Cobra Kai show talking about all the criticisms. You know, you just don't see it. Right. You don't see the right. like the showrunners coming out for Stranger Things and saying, "All right, let's talk about the critics and what we did wrong."
But yeah, they're doing damage control.
You don't see that kind of stuff. And,
no.
and so to see it from them, they almost knew ahead of time, this is going to be super controversial because we're going to have a Isildur alive at the same time that we're going to have Celebrimbor alive, and they're 1700 years apart.
That's the biggest thing. That is the biggest thing that when you kind of like laid that stuff out for me, I was blown away by it. When you're like, it's not even like a few years they adjusted here. Like these characters are allegedly anyway, according to like, you know, what we're watching, this seems like it's happening concurrently. They're alive when, like you said, millennia separated them. Like almost different halves. I mean, different halves of the age, essentially. Well, in the beginning of the second age and the end of the second age. And it's like, what, dude? How do you? It's a mashing that can't be on. It's like we made mashed potatoes. Psych, we're going to make French fries. It's like, no, you can't go back to making French fries. The potatoes are mashed, dude. Like, leave it to, you know, to use. Yeah. They are mashed, smashed, and ready to eat. Like, you can't go, shit, I should have made some, I don't know, scallop potatoes. It's done, dude. It's done.
You honestly can't go back.
Yeah. You know what would end all this? Like I was kind of alluding to it. What would end all this from all these people is that they would just say, yeah, you know what? We kind of wanted to play in Middle Earth. We wanted to make our own drama, and we've made changes, and we know a lot of people aren't going to like them, but we felt like we could tell an interesting story that made big amendments to what Tolkien wrote, and sometimes totally recharacterize people that he or characters that he created. Yep. If you say that, then it's like literally you steal all of our thunder.
Yeah,
we'd be like, well, that's stupid. But that's where the conversation, we wouldn't still be talking about it. It would all be common knowledge. It would be irrefutable. Like, hey, the showrunner said that this is not Tolkienian. Right. And instead of that, they are just like I kind of was thinking earlier, they have doubled down on it in the dumbest way possible, just to a point where they think that we're fools and we're not fools. Like it's a fandom that is, as much as we love Pippin and we're very Tookish, We're not stupid, man. You can't pull wool over our eyes because our eyes are made of wool, okay?
That's right.
And you can't do it. You can't win that way. You can't, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, strike three.
Strike three, dude.
I just think, I don't know. That, again, it would be amazing. If they came out and said that, we wouldn't be able to talk about it ever again. We would be able to lament the fact. But we would have no kind of conversations where, can you believe what they said this time? Can you believe, you know, like what's driving this madness? Like, it is almost kind of a fascination. And really at this point, to again come full circle, what Rings of Power has become for me is like a comedy. It is 100% a real life, real time comedy. It's like Michael Scott getting a TV show and trying to run it. And instead of running it, he runs it into the ground and then tries to justify everything and tries to say, well, it's all your fault. It's like little kid stuff. It's like, you don't understand it. What are you, dumb? It's like, what is there to understand, bro?
it goes back to, like, if you're upset, I mean, honest to God, like if they had a conversation with us, for example, and not Corey Olson or Nerd of the Rings or whatever, and or even if they heard any of this, right? They would call us trolls. They would say we're trolling them. But let me give you just a quick example. You said, you know, Hunt for Gollum's coming out, and then one of them, their favorite character is Gollum. Yeah. In their world, they could have Gollum show up. Because if we're going to put Isildur and Celebrimbor
exactly
at the same time, why can't we put, like, why can't Frodo be there?
Yeah.
I mean, why can't, well, wait, he was in the why third not? Age, buddy. Are you serious? Like,
what's a couple more thousand years?
Matter? Like, what's it matter? it's the second age. What's it matter? Why can't Gollum be there? I don't even get it. So you just go down that line of thought, and it's crazy. I've been doing these shorts and stuff. I want to read this one real quick to you, just to kind of hammer this home. So, like, according to the Rings of Power, Isildur will be 1700 years old. During season 2, the show features one of the most significant moments in the Second Age. It's the sack of Eregion. This battle takes place in the year 1697 of the Second Age. Mm. And we can assume that Isildur is around 20 years old. Maybe he's older, but 20, okay?
Yeah.
He again, they age slower. He could be older. The Rings of Power show is ultimately driving towards the War of the Last Alliance, where Isildur famously cuts the One Ring from Sauron's hand, right?
Yeah.
That event takes place in the year 3441, right? Isildur only lived for two more years after that. And so most Numenorean kings lived to be...
He died of old age.
Yeah, 350 to 500 years old. This would make Isildur and Elendil the oldest Numenorians to have ever existed. To have ever existed.
By a long shot. Like,
oh, it's not that literal, bro. It's not that literal. No, we have a date for the sack of Eregion.
Yeah.
And we have a date for when Isildur cut the ring. And it's there's a 1,700 year difference.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant find.
1,700 years old. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we didn't have access to those timelines, though, Ez. And so what we had to do was kind of plumb the depths. That's another thing they've done. That's another thing they've done, Ez, is here's what they've done. They've used obscure bits of the lore to justify decisions they've made instead of using their decisions to glorify the lore.
Right.
It's 100% what they've done. Yep. Like, after the fact, they've done something totally off the ranch. On planet Mars, they've created this alternate reality. They put it out in front of us. They thought we were morons, and we would lap it up. And people who do like the show, I'm not calling you a moron. Please don't take that out of context.
No, yeah.
What I'm saying is, they thought that all people who like Middle Earth, who like Tolkien, who like Lord of the Rings, are stupid and would just eat up whatever they were fed, and that were sheep. And I think to myself, that was their mindset, right? And when that didn't happen, that's when they started saying, like, oh yeah, well, actually, if you look on page whatever, there's this one little line, and we base all of season one off that. Just that one line, because, you know, it kind of had a moment of confliction within Galadriel, and we just sort of wanted to live in that moment. We wanted to blow that moment up. It's like literally the worst idea possible. But that's what they've done. They've gone and used the lore to justify their mistakes instead of... The crazy thing is, as it's like they had to work harder. They're working harder.
It's I mean, here's
to create crap than if they would just have done a decent job. They could have done a halfway decent job,
and they would have had to work less. Like in a second, how they could have done this very quickly, very briefly. But real quick, as you're saying, they have said that this is going to be, you know, this season two was supposed to be more enriched with lore, more references to lore. Yeah. Let me show you one more thing where they completely break lore. They've already done it, and they're going to do it, and they've announced that they're breaking it. And it's sort of like there's no sort of there's no weaseling out of this one. So one of the things that we've always known is that the One Ring, the One Ring would be forged in secret, right? So it's forged in secret, and its forging happens, like in this show, it's happening after the sack of Eregion. Mm-hmm. So one of the most famous quotes from the Tolkien Legendarium is, "But they were all of them deceived, for another ring was made in the land of Mordor, in the fires of Mount Doom. The Dark Lord Sauron forged in secret a master ring." Mm-hmm. And do you know who discovered that secret? Who actually it was revealed to? It was revealed to Celebrimbor. He discovered the secret, right? Yeah. And so
he's
was
dead now. Killed.
He's dead. So there's no forging this in secret anymore. I mean,
dude,
who's going to discover it? He's just been killed in season two, right? Yeah. He's the elf who is responsible for discovering that Dark Lord Sauron has forged the One Ring. Now he's gone. Who will make that discovery? In canon, the One Ring is forged in the year 1600, and the Sack of Eregion happens 97 years later in 1697. Mm-hmm. Celebrimbor redeems himself by defying the Dark Lord and hiding the Elven Rings. Mm-hmm. So, how can you now, knowing who he is, him being revealed, not realize he's over there in Mount... They've already... felt like we should take the rings off, right? Maybe he can control us because he was, and we're not even talking about the One Ring, right? The One Ring hasn't even come up yet. It's
right,
like,
right, dude.
Clearly, he could forge another ring, but it's like, oh no, he killed Celebrimbor, so therefore, that's probably what they're gonna say.
No more rings.
Celebrimbor's dead. There's no more rings of power. There's no more rings.
No way. Nope.
Put
not
your
a chance.
Ring back on. All is safe now because our guy died. I mean,
dude, the secrets are lost. So the secrets are lost.
I just think that's crazy. Like the it was they were all of them deceived, and because the ring was another ring, a master ring was forged in secret that binds them all together. Yeah. There is no way that that is going to be a secret now. And again, clearly the person who had the secret was Celebrimbor, and who understood it. I mean, all of them become aware actually that he creates the ring. There's this perception that he has it, and they take their ring off. Right. That's literally what happens. And did you just?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can't have that now. You can't even feature that. So
it all just crumbles. I mean, like, that's the thing, is it's like a bad foundation. It doesn't matter what you do to try and fix it up top, it's gonna fall down. Like it's a house of cards kind of deal. And I mean, even as you're talking too, there's like a million other, you're describing events that happened, and there's a million other things that they portray differently. Like the fact that Sauron wasn't even in charge of the invasion of Eregion, right?
Unbelievable.
Like, there were balls in the sack, but they weren't his. And it's just like, that's a massive change. The fact that you create another character who's going to be the orc's daddy, who he has to overcome. Like, and that not only he has to overcome, that he's been fighting to regain control of the orcs for thousands of years, hundreds of years, I don't know, because time doesn't matter there. But it's like, dude, okay, this is another little nugget that has almost nothing to talk about what we're talking about.
That's fine.
But I thought it was really interesting. It came up, I was watching, it's been so long, I don't know if I've ever watched them all the way through, to be honest, shame on me, the commentary for The Lord of the Rings. I almost always just went to the appendices. I was like, commentary, anything in there is going to be in the appendices. I'm not going to worry about it. But it's not true. There are so many nuggets that are there when, like, Fran, Peter, and Philip are watching the movie and talking about it. When Dom, Billy, and Ian are, you know. So anyway, there was something. They were talking about the prologue. And they, because this is, I guess this kind of ties into this, because we've talked about this. They do the Second Age better in 8 minutes. Actually, more than the Second Age. They do kind of like, well, it is mostly... It is mostly the second age. They do the second age in 8 minutes better than they've done in hours of TV show. And it's not even close. It's not even a conversation.
Right.
And one of the things they talked about doing is putting place names and years later. And Peter Jackson, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly what he said. He said, in the end, we decided against it because we felt like it took you out of the story. I know what it was. Never mind. I'm sorry. It wasn't even the prologue. That was another thing. It was when Gandalf goes to Minas Tirith. They thought about flashing up Minas Tirith when he goes to the archives in that hunt for Gollum, that gap of 17 years. And he said, you know what? They're going to find out it's Minas Tirith eventually. He said, it doesn't really matter right now. And when they do find out, they'll be able to go back and watch it with that knowledge and go, oh my gosh, that's what that place was. So again, there's a difference between trusting your audience and trusting your, I mean, like, trusting your audience over yourself and then trusting yourself over your audience. And I feel like Peter Jackson does the one, and the show has decided to go with the other, that we're going to take our own, we're going to smell our own flowers and not worry about giving any out. And
dude, I mean, one of the things you said, it was before season two started, you were talking about how Peter Jackson wanted this to be sort of like a documentary, like his spirit of going into just document it, right? And so not flashing Minas Tirith up there and just saying this is where he would show you. You're right there. You're with him. You're going to have to figure it out, like through characters talking or through later events and stuff. And that's really cool. I mean, it's again, like we go back to the Mordor, the Southlands Mordor reveal.
Yeah, jeez.
Dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, honest to God, like if I don't, I still like to bring up to people, did you know that that is how Mordor was created? Waldreg drove the cord. I mean, dude, it's canon. I mean, ask Corey Olson. It is a it is canon.
He's the expert on canon, that's for sure.
He knows whether there is canon or there's not canon.
He does.
I mean, that is, I think you think about his comment about whether there's canon or not. Like, is that canon or not? Let's just ask you point blank, Corey. Yeah. Is it canon that Waldreg did that and that's how Mordor was formed? Yes or no?
Yeah.
I mean, yes or no? So the answer is no.
He'd have to go to Tolkien. He'd have to go to the archives of the Tolkien Community College and really dig in deep and just kind of see. He'd probably have to check in on his consensus from his, his performance
reviews.
Check
the contract, like you said, he's got to check the contract. That's crazy, man. And I think sometimes what's interesting on those other shows where the content creators are is like they won't point that out. They won't point out that Waldreg doing that and the way Mordor is created is completely wrong and a joke and not accurate, not faithful. You talk about having good faith criticism or bad faith criticism of a show. How about just good faith, like to the in an adaptation?
Having faithfulness good faith to the
to the actual content that came before you and just adapting it well, saying that's what's there, let's adapt it well, you know? To try to do all of this, well, we don't have the rights to. What are you talking about? Why, if you don't have the rights do you not have the rights to just have Mordor be Mordor? I mean, so does it have to change because you don't have the rights to it? To use that excuse of like, well, we had to do Galadriel that way because we don't really have the rights to everything, but you have the rights to do Galadriel? And you chose not to do her the way that like Tolkien. It's just bizarre. It's a bunch of hoop jumping and it's a cop out because
that's exactly right.
It's a cop out. I mean, you can choose to faithfully adapt those. We don't have the rights to the Akala Beth and all the different, but why are you even doing the show? It's crazy.
Great point.
Why are you even doing the show then? Like that is.
Well, and then we even saw that shift. We saw how that changed, right? So that was their cop out for season one. And because they were like, well, we have to call him Halbrand and Sauron because we can't use the name Annatar. That's really what it is. And then sure enough, in season two, what's the new form? It's Annatar, right?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, so you just had to get Simon Tolkien drunk or tickle him a little bit, and then you could have used Annatar. So maybe you should have done that like before season one. So again, now we took this risk. It sucked. Okay, well, we're going to have to find our way out of it. How can we kind of try to salvage this? Oh, geez. Okay, throw some plywood on it. Put some pitch so the water doesn't get in, and we'll just keep going. We're going to get done. We'll make the money. We'll get people we won't get those people. We'll get the people who just only like, we probably won't get them either. We're gonna have bots watch the show, and that'll give us some numbers, and advertisers will be happy. And wait, how does this work again? We don't have to make money from, Jeff Bezos just gave it to us. Oh, cool. All right, we can do whatever we want then.
Yeah. It's insane, man. It's okay, insane. Hold on. One more thing that I think is going to highlight all of this. In that interview, they were talking about the kiss. And, you know, nerds like, hey, I got to ask you guys about the kiss and like the reaction saw of that. And they again were saying like last thing of all the things we thought would tick people off or cause some outcry or whatever, that was not on our radar at all. So that they were shocked by that. Now, here's why, Lane. Because if you listen to the interview, you guys can go check it out. He goes on to say, that they explained the moment why they were kissing. And he's like, well, yeah, clearly, she has a daughter like later. And like that, what's her name? What is her name?
Celebrion.
Celebrion. Yeah. Yeah. So clearly Galadriel has a daughter that is coming later. And you're like, wait, okay, we just did the sack of Eregion. She's been born since like the year 300. They acted like she was coming later, as if like they actually were acting like Galadriel was not even married to. At one point, they're like, "Well, of course she has a husband." Where
is he?
And then, then they're saying, "Well, right now that's not his mother-in-law, because like clearly that's, well, yeah, they get married later, but then they acted as if she wasn't even around. It was honestly,
dude, it sounds like maybe according to their thinking, Elrond could be his own father-in-law.
Well, I mean,
if she ain't been born yet, and well, Celeborn's around, but he's not around, maybe he's gonna, you know.
I know, it's insane, man. It was insane.
Do
I was
something like, really bad.
He went over and kissed her mother, and this is literally the, like, her daughter is who he will fall in love with.
Yeah.
And she is already born at the time of the sack of Eregion. So like, we're not stupid. And then they have to, they basically are like, well, that's not in our timeline. She's not born.
Jeez, dude.
You know, they don't say that directly, but
yeah,
where is she? She's clearly not. Let me make this a point again, just so I can clip it up, buddy.
Yeah.
Let me make this very clear.
Yeah, please.
In the Rings of Power, right now as it stands, Galadriel seemingly is not married, and she does not have a child. When we know in Tolkien's timeline, she has been married for a very long time, and she's had a child that is well over, I would say, 500, 600, 700 years old at the time of the events of the Sack of Eregion. I'm just, you know, I don't have the timeline in front of me, but like that is... That's a problem that, like, we don't know where anything is. Like, the character that they're showing us is this Galadriel who is unmarried, doesn't have a daughter, not embracing the whole motherhood. Well, that's coming later. And it's just like, that's already there. And why do we have a problem with that? Because, like, it just, it blows my mind that they think that Tolkien fans would have a problem with all of this back and forth in terms of the timeline. Yeah, go ahead and throw Gollum in. Throw Frodo. Yeah. Get Bilbo in there, dude. Like, it's why don't you just take all the big names and drop them in? I mean, hobbits can be, you know, thousands of years old in your guys' timeline. Like,
according to our timeline. Yeah. And maybe according to the timeline, it's not thousands of years. It might be like thousands of minutes. It is really funny that you I mean, the same criticism word for word can be applied to the Order of the Rings. Right. And we won't talk about it again, but it's literally just like, well, all those things are coming later. Yeah, but they didn't. They came before. Like that's the order in which they happen. When you start messing around with the order in which things happen, like not necessarily who does what, because sometimes that can be changed and you can still achieve the same. Like I think about, you know, making Arwen the one who takes Frodo to Rivendell instead of Glorfindel, right? I mean, again, unless you read the books, you wouldn't know any different. You know, I tell my kids when we're watching, I tell the girls that, hey, that actually wasn't, you know, that was that Arwen never even did this in the stories. They're like, what? Really? Again, before I read the books, I was blown away. I'm like, whoa, none of that happened. And like Frodo was kind of riding on his own. It took days and he wasn't imminently going to, you know, perish. So yeah, I think order does matter quite a bit, just like time matters quite a bit. And yeah, you're right. If you're going to just throw all that to the wind, make it an all-star game. Because we know how popular those are. If you're into sports, how many all-star games have you watched lately? Probably not many. Hockey and baseball, sure. But like the NBA, the NFL, no one watches those because they're stupid.
Yeah.
Because you literally have a bunch of prima donnas in the same room and they don't try because they're afraid of getting hurt.
Right.
And I think like, let's bring Aragorn in, let's bring Arwen. Let's just make it a mishmash of whatever and see if that makes it any better, because it won't.
I would just go, okay, yeah. And you're 100% right.
Close us up. Yeah.
So the sexualization of Galadriel with Sauron, with Sauron to start, was wild. And then they thought the kiss wasn't going to be a big deal. I mean, it's wild. Yeah. I mean, that's like you put this female, I don't know what the messaging is. I don't understand the messaging or the theme.
No.
And I don't get it. So maybe I'm a dummy.
I almost think it's,
and that's fine.
No. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, we are dummies. We're hobbits. Are. I think who even hurt more than Galadriel was Elrond. Like Elrond was one of the remaining, like kind of likable characters in the show. And because he's the one who did it. He's the one who went in for the, she was all like, oh, what? And I think to myself, like, the argument was, well, you morons, it was cloaking the key handoff. Well, okay. I would even be okay with that, except there's a very clear frame, if you go back and watch the show, where an orc, like three orcs are staring at their hands as he passes the key off. Like they're looking right at his hands as right. their sucking face. They weren't watching the action. They were watching the handoff. And I think to myself, you didn't even do it well. You literally cloaked it in a mysterious, confusing, sexualized kiss, but you didn't even do the thing well. You shouldn't have showed any handoff. It's so stupid, dude. Yeah, and I didn't, bro, honestly, the first time I watched it, I didn't know. I thought it was a hairpin. I'm like, what, did he do that so she can put her hair up? It didn't even look like a key.
Yeah.
It didn't even look like a key, yeah, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I am an idiot because I had to be told that your stupid thing you tried to do was smart. Yeah.
Right.
My bad.
Right. It just goes back to like all of the things that are pillars. You know, like if you go look up, where is Celeborn during this time? He's with Elrond. Yep. They're actually there defending the city.
Fighting.
Galadriel's through Khazad Dûm over on the other side of the Misty Mountains. She's not even there, mm-hmm. dude. Like, not even mm-hmm. close. So, mm-hmm. you know, you look at those things and you go, and like, well, how could we turn that into a good story? Get more creative. There are creative ways to do it. There are people on YouTube that also, we've like, literally seen dictate stories that would be cool that you could have done. There's tons of, and we would allow, we understand there needs to be some change. And we would talk about that. We're like,
sure.
You know, some of the stuff that they did with like D4 and D3, some of the best stuff they did. I'm like, cool. You changed some stuff up. Yep. I'm fine with both of them being alive at the same time. Yep. Both called Durin. Okay. Not technically canon, but
right,
who cares?
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Because there is none.
That's more believable. That's a more believable adjustment. And we understand, like the Arwen Glorfindel swap. Yeah, people are mm-hmm. right. Peter Jackson, as you said this many times, he got a lot of crap for that. But again, mm-hmm. he was so much more in line and in faithful to the adaptation, in his adaptation, than this is. And I just think if you're comparing both and you're saying, no, they're about equal, you are completely... I don't even know. I can't trust you. You know what I'm saying? To say that they're that Peter Jackson's adaptation is less faithful or is on the same level as Payne and McKay's adaptation of the Second Age. It's insane.
Yeah. It is.
It's so crazy. There's that. Now
it's crazy.
while we're at it, I'm gonna flash this on the screen real quick.
Give us some more good news here.
So here we go. This is what they're doing now. So
hold on. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is this so after season one and all the backlash, they deleted that Instagram profile and then they made another one for season two. Is this a different one from that or is it the same one? I'm guessing it's the same one because no one probably gives a shit anymore and no one's making comments. So they don't have any negative comments to kind of hide or cloak. Or they have so many bots now that go in and say, greatest show ever. I can't wait. Oh my God. Stop teasing us. Team. What do they call it? What do they call Sauron and Galadriel's love story? What do they call it? Ship them. I don't know. There's something. There's some kind
of
like.
Something? Oh my God.
There's I don't know. It's weird, man.
That's sad if there is one.
Anyway, I'm guessing it's still the same one, though. It's the second, you know, the Rings of Power handle 2.0.
Yeah, you know. And I mean, so I guess they're keeping it. I don't know what happened to the first one, but yeah, they're at least sticking around here. We'll see. Maybe it gets dropped after season three. Who knows? according, this is the thing, though. Like, we're going to, so let's read it to you guys. It says, so we've got an announcement here. Season 3, jumping forward several years from the events of Season 2, Season 3 takes place at the height of the War of the Elves in Sauron as the Dark Lord seeks to craft the One Ring that will give him the edge he needs mm-hmm. to win the war and conquer
Didn't have it
all
before.
Of Middle-earth.
Did you guys know that Sauron is actually Baker Mayfield? He's an underdog. He's got to get that chip on his shoulder, baby. Did you see those? By the way, just as fascinating, all those comments. Pull that up again, if you don't mind. And look at those, don't seem like real comments from real people.
Yeah, I actually was going to tell
you. Those seem like employees of Amazon or employees of Rings of Power. Those don't even feel like real comments, bro.
I do feel like there is probably that companies have groups of people. I could be wrong, but I feel like they do, just because of the algorithms and stuff, that they do go in to push content, and they do have maybe a group of people, a mob that goes to those posts. I don't know how because, all that works, but it seems like that. I mean, it could be wrong.
Dude, they were all the crazy thing was that post had nothing to do with haters. Every one of those comments was like, "Oh, forget the haters. Haters gonna hate. No trolls here." They weren't taught. There was no reference of people bashing the show.
Right.
But every one of those comments was deflecting haters.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah,
that's not normal. I'm not gonna see something I love and go in and be like, yeah, you know what? Screw the haters. This is great. No, if there's no reference to haters, This has nothing to do with it. This is talking about a brand new season of a show that you love. Why are haters so in your head over something that you love?
Right.
Unless you're not actually a fan, you're getting paid to go put positive comments, pile them to the top, pin them to the top, so that for whatever, I don't even know who this is for, dude. Who gives a shit? Like, if you, that's the other thing too. It goes against the core of creativity. If you create something and you love it, that should be enough.
Well,
that should be enough.
Yeah. If you're a fan of this, like, okay, when I'm a fan of the Star Wars shows that I watch and I'm like, okay, this one's really solid, I go out and show people and prove to them, like, dude, look, when little Leia said this, this connects back to when Ben Kenobi was there, and this is how she knows that Ben, this is the connection they're trying to make. And I throw that all up there. I'm like, that's a deep cut. That's cool. And for fans like me, that's a really sick connection. And you don't see a lot of people doing that. No, I don't.
Because they can't.
Because I think when you go to make that, oh man, that's a really sick connection that with a reference Galadriel's daughter, and then you're like, wait, they can't because she doesn't exist in this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't make those connections. And like, I mean, the coolest thing that they could do is like land features that have been there, right? If you noticed, a lot of the stuff that their deep lore cuts were all the different bits of the Anduin and all the different, you know, rivers that break off from it and referencing landmarks that we know are there and are there for all of the Second Age, except for when they mess up like Mordor, you know. But other than that, like, they can
right.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you don't see people coming out and defending the show and really digging in there and say, dude, look how this connects to the lore, man. Look how they do this. Or that's one of the coolest things I think about when I cover Star Wars or different fandoms or even House of the Dragon, for example. You're like, okay, cool. They showed that in a way I didn't quite expect. And this is what happens in the book. And here's how that sort of connects. There's these cool direct connections that you can make. And in this show, you can't do it because it's so, it is so
not the
far
same
off.
Universe, dude. Yeah.
It's not even the same universe. No, they've disregarded the material. As I don't even know why they called it a Region. I don't know why they called it Linden. I don't know why
it would literally be like the perfect analogy would be like you finding something deep cut in Star Wars and going, oh, see how this relates to Lord of the Rings. It would be like that equivalent. It's impossible because it's there's nothing there. It would be total fabrication. It wouldn't be based on anything. It'd be based on you just saying something as opposed to finding dots to connect because, again, they're on different pieces of paper. You can't connect them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So as we finish up this conversation, there's something I want to drop on you. And this is as I've been looking more and more at the timeline, actually over Elaine knows this, over my channel, Flannel Wizard, I'm actually dropping these timelines. I've been like writing these out and I'm going to do... Dude, I have.
Did you know?
I have a video actually called. It's called 12 Major Moments in the Second Age, and I was gonna do like a subtitle that never happened in the Rings of Power. You know, I was gonna do like, but I think I'm gonna leave that part off.
Please don't. Do whatever you want, but that's
I think I still might do it. It's definitely gonna be down like the description or something. But as I was doing that, I'm like looking at this and going back to Tolkien Untangled, who we've referenced before. Don't go watch his videos, otherwise you'll be spoiled by what you know he lays out there. But it's very simple. The more I thought about it, it's a very simple thing to do. Even if you have five seasons, that's fine. You can pick and choose how. So they did essentially. Imagine that the Numenoreans are not there. Imagine that it's not Isildur. That it's not Muriel, Ar-Pharazôn, Elendil. Mm-hmm. Those don't exist. Take them out of the equation. Substitute in one character named Aldarion. So Aldarion, or he becomes later on Tar Aldarion. There's a whole chapter on him. And oh, wait, I don't have the rights to this and blah, blah, blah. How the heck do you get the rights to all these other Numenoreans, dude? If you don't have the rights to like it, that, it's just excuses. But and call him whatever. Don't even call him Aldarion. Call him something different. I mean, you just made up. You made up Adar. You made up other characters. So call this Numenorean whoever you want. But you run the first two seasons. Besides the whole Galadriel being on the craft with Sauron and going to Numenor, none of that happens. run it more authentically to how Tolkien has it laid out there. Come up with some creative stuff. Have a Rondir in there for crying out loud, and actually show, you know, more of the Sylvan Elves and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. Go ahead and give us two seasons, or you can do three. Let's just stick with the 5-season pitch, right? That they want to do. Yeah. Go with your 2 seasons and lead us right up to the Sack of Eregion. Totally fine. Totally fine. You can do it with all these different characters. No problemo. Well, what do we do about the Numenoreans? That was their big thing, right? Well, we'd have to have a new Numenorean coming on and off the screen every 5 minutes. Yeah. That is the dumbest thing I've ever, you know, why are you, here's the thing, Lainey, okay, why are you trying to cover in five seasons, 4,000 years?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to cover 4,000 years or 3,441 years of like events and sequence of events? Why are you trying to cover that in 5 seasons?
Yeah.
Why not just try to cover 100 years with the elves leading into when, I think it was like 1500 is when Sauron, Annatar, shows up in Eregion, and he deceives them. He doesn't deceive Galadriel. Celeborn's there. A full drama on this, right? And lead us up to this deception. You can even have him, you know, going back and forth. There's plenty of time to take him back to Mordor. His tower is being built at that time, right? That should be built, right? So you could do that for 2 seasons, and you're like, what about Numenor? What do we do about Numenor? Literally, this character in canon, actually in canon, shows up. He is the one going back and forth. He's meeting with Gil-galad, and he's going back with information, talking to his father. They're setting up their colonies. The Numenorean presence is coming back and forth. He was the guy during that time period that was actually doing it. Tolkien has a guy during that time who becomes king. He will become king later on, and he wants to send aid. He even has some turmoil with his wife, and her name is, I think, how do you say it? Arrendis, maybe? That's how you say it. E-R-E-N-D-I-S. And it's great. It's a really cool back and forth. He has this longing for the sea, and she's kind of, she loves him, but she's contending with his love for the sea and to travel to Middle Earth, and he brings back riches and all this kind of stuff.
That's
and
drama right there, buddy. That's what you want.
There's drama going on there. There's drama with his father who says this isn't good. They were worried about picking up diseases and sickness and bringing it back to their land. What happened over there?
Realistic. I mean, that's very realistic.
Very real. I mean, so many things that you could have done to show these Numenoreans, and you could have again shown Elrond could have been checking in with his kin, right? I mean, these are his brother's people, right? His twin brother.
You could slowly build that too. You could slowly build that realization that, oh wait, wow. That division in there. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have this cast of Numenoreans for two seasons. That's it. And you're like, well, nobody's gonna sign up for that. How are we gonna get good actors? Dude, they did it on Game of Thrones. Every TV show does it. They bring people in season 5 that they didn't have, you know, here. They brought on Saruman, freaking White Wizard Saruman in season 2. He wasn't there in season 1. Big time actor, right? I mean, whatever he is, the Dark Wizard, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, whatever he is. This is something that, like, again, Tolkien Untangled's pitch did, right? First two seasons, all elves perspective. Yeah. 4 and 5, men, like the Numenoreans perspectives. And then in the fifth season, you bring both those peoples together and you move towards, you've got Sauron sprinkled in there because he relates to all of them. The other thing that is ludicrous is, like, the thought of slamming everyone into one season or into one story at the same time. I mean, so you could argue, like, fans of Faramir would feel that same way. Well, we didn't get any of them in Fellowship of the Ring. Yeah, you didn't. Because he's not in the story then. Like, it happened, like, entire, so you think about, when I think about Lord of the Rings, I think of the Fellowship, and Hobbits. And the Two Towers, I think of Rohan. And in Return of the King, I think of Gondor.
Yep.
And mingled throughout all of that is Mordor and Isengard. The bad guys are always the same, but we get fresh crops of new guys, new heroes to cheer for every new season or movie or film. And you're absolutely right, dude. I almost think there are more ways you could have done it right than ways you could have done it wrong.
For sure. For sure. It's lazy. It's so ridiculous to say, well, because of the Numenoreans, we'd have to recast every 5 minutes and blah, blah. Yeah. That is the biggest bunch of hogwash I've ever seen in my life, because you're trying to cover 3,000 years worth of content. You should zoom in to these big battles, and then you have all these break off stories where different things.
Yes.
You cast some really awesome big time elves that you know are going to be around for a long time that want to be in this universe. You could do spinoffs. They could have done spinoffs for years, right? Yep. Decades. On this, if they would have just zoomed in, that's why we were excited about the show. I'm like, all right, cool. They're going to zoom in on a moment. It's going to be epic. And then we're going to, I just never imagined that they were going to cover the entire Second Age all in five seasons and make sure, and like, and then say, done. We covered it all. Like, that is actually crazy. So it's like you said, I mean, Denethor shows up, right? When he shows up later on, you're like, okay, he wasn't there in Fellowship. That's okay. Like, that's we don't need to have him in Fellowship to to enjoy him later on. So we don't need a Isildur in season one and two. I'm sorry. Nope. I'm glad that guy got the actor got paid and he's there and he signed up for five seasons and he has the contract and he's in all five.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get all five seasons because it gets canceled, because it just doesn't work. Yeah. You know, you run the risk of like this legacy that you could put into the fandom, and you're just like, well, we need to make sure we have like contracts with all these different individuals, and we got to get them all signed up for 5 years and on board with this. It just, that is what I think the problem is that, and it's just two factions. It's just men, like you said, men and elves. Like, you could literally run two different cast, and it's like, and it, we would have connected with them.
Yeah. And that fear of like, well, we're not going to get people to sign up for a season at a time or just a couple seasons. Like you said, Game of Thrones defies that's not reality. You can think of any big show, like Peaky Blinders. You had big name villains coming in for one season at a time. You're going to be the bad guy. You're the ultimate bad guy against Tommy Shelby this season. Sounds great to me. It's an honor, because that's what you do. You build a show that's a certain standard, and then people, big time actors and actresses will give their left nut to be in for a couple seasons. I mean, or a couple episodes even. Not for even like a couple seasons. Like, yes, make me a doorman. I want to be a part of this because it looks so fun, because it's tons of great actors to work with. The story is beautiful. Everyone's story driven, right? Like, it's a great script, a great story. I want to be a part of this. I want to add it to my, you know, to my filmography, that I was a part of this adventure and this story. And they could have had the same easily. They could have easily had the same thing. They just had a bunch of knuckleheads mashing buttons at the top.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's and that's what's so sad about it, is that, like, I like to go back to a time where there were multiple pitches on the table, and this is the one that got picked, and there weren't other people in the room to tell the producers or the people who were buying this that this is not going to sell well. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how, like, I don't know, man. How do you have these people come in and not realize that this is going to be a bad idea?
That's the tell-all I want. I want a documentary exposing the backstory of Rings of Power. I would geek for that. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not much else to say other than...
Yep, rest in peace.
Like this whole time jump thing is a freaking joke. Why jump any time at all? What's it matter?
Right.
I mean...
It literally
Time has been irrelevant this whole time.
Right,
so.
Right. I also think there's a little silver thread there, too, where I'm like... Are they actually listening? You said this like 2 years ago. Like 2 years ago. Little shit that we have said, there have been references where it's like, oh, dude, maybe we should put... I'm like, what? And it's not just us. It's lots of people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it's almost uncanny, like how much like phrases or analogies or ideas that we've come up with have also materialized either in them... You know, saying, oh, this is a criticism that's ridiculous, or it's like, oh, we're going to incorporate this now.
Well,
like,
I think our problem is that we weren't saying, like, I've always said, when we went into Rings of Power, we basically said, we're not going to look it up. I want to go in with this, like, try to recreate that Lord of the Rings experience where we didn't know anything, and we want to be blind. We want them to tell us the story, and then we'll go check it out, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. And boy, were we let down, because they did not give us a faithful adaptation whatsoever at all. And it's what really turned people off on this. So had they been listening and we were like saying up front, I never even heard about the time compression stuff. I mean, we heard like a few months, I think, before, and I was sort of like, didn't quite understand what that was going to mean. You know what I'm saying? And then as we get into it, I'm like, what? You know, like, I mean, and the clearest example is having characters alive.
Yeah, that is pretty damning. Yeah.
That is, that are 1700 years apart. And it's just like, you could name some of those kings of Gondor, or it'd be like having, what's your guy? King Arvedui.
Arvedui. Yep. Part of the Fellowship.
Part of the Fellowship, bro. Bring Why is he not in the Fellowship? Yep. Why is King Arvedui not in the Fellowship? I'll tell you why. Because Tolkien had a daggone a timeline.
Right.
And like, that's not how things went down. So Peter Jackson didn't just go, you know what? I really liked all that stuff with Arvedui. And, it, you know, maybe we should even have a hobbit who survived, one of the archers.
Yeah.
Came back.
Part of the Fellowship.
Let's bring them all. Let's bring him back in. And they're
that was like his answer. Part of the Fellowship. Make part a part. It was nine, like, or was it 19? I don't know. Let's make it 19. It
not, why not 19? I mean, why not increase the Fellowship number? Well, it's just so insane.
The Lord said not seven, but seven times 77, or, you know, whatever. 77 times. Let's just make it bigger.
Let's make it bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could go. I could probably go for another 2 hours on this, but I probably shouldn't, because I just want to get myself.
We should
all worked up. And we want to give you guys more content. We have other things that are kind of coming up. But I mean, dude, it's just mind boggling. And I, if they are listening, it's like too late. Well, are you trying to appease us with that time jump?
Yeah.
Why post that, Lane? Why say,
I know,
jumping forward several years when the biggest criticism of your show has been the fact that there is no time?
Yeah.
Why jump forward? Why even say that?
I know. And again, it's that weird thing of like
bringing the trolls out. No trolls in their mind. They want us out.
Bring the trolls out.
Here we are.
There's no legitimate criticism yet making posts that directly confront criticism, you know, or contradict or try to correct. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's so mind numbing, isn't it? God, I'm glad we only talk about this every couple months. It hurts my brain, and I know it's because I'm an idiot, but. It's just like, it's so dumb. It's just so dumb, dude.
So dumb.
But I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad there are Kendrick Lamars like you and I out there to let the people know who Drake really is. To let them know that Drake's... I almost said something I shouldn't have said there.
I don't get sued.
Like him... can't think of anything that rhymes with young, but you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, cause we're not perfect. We make all kinds of mistakes. Absolutely. But we'll admit it. Right. I mean, like, again, it's very interesting. The showrunners, some of these content creators, and I don't know. It Let just me makes me feel kind of
the biggest sin. I mean, besides the time compression thing, that one of the biggest sins I think in the show is that, as you said, the name grabbing, right? Why have they not featured Glorfindel yet? Well, because Glorfindel, it has nothing to do with Tolkien's Legendarium. It has to do with the fact that he wasn't in the Peter Jackson films. And that's what they hold higher than anything else, all these different shots. So since Glorfindel is not in the PJ films, nobody knows about him, right? True. So we shouldn't probably... What they do know is Gandalf. So let's make sure we've got a Grandalf in there. And but we know what? He's not there before. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't stop him with Tom Bombadil, though.
True. That is true.
I think that was a direct dig at Peter Jackson.
That's true. It's a dig. Yep. It's also one of those things that's like they needed to. I think that was literally just to try to save. That's just clicks and views, dude. That was clickbait if I've ever seen it. Like that is honest, straight up. That's clickbait in like large production stuff. You know what I mean?
Anyway, I still think they filmed all that stuff way after the rest of production. Because remember when they came out with it, it was like a few months before. And I thought to myself, I'm like, all that Tom Bombadil stuff, you could have done callbacks and you could have filmed in maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff. He wasn't in it much. And like he only interacted with Grandelf.
True.
You could have done that in a weekend.
That's true. I do wonder what the timeline was on that. Did they bring him out of nowhere and say the show needs something else because we don't have it? Like, there's not
Peter Jackson talking bad about us. We're gonna put a dig. Come on, he didn't do you. We're doing you. Come on.
We're doing Tom Bombadil, even though this it's so crazy. So to me, like, Glorfindel comes before my headphones, the Blue died. Wizards, right? He actually is there. He's the first. He's
killing my headphones.
Back. And it's one of the biggest events in the Second Age. It's so freaking cool that he does come back. And the fact that he's not there is just, it's insane. It's insane. So anyways, all right. That is, we got some dying headphones over there. So we're going to.
I just got it back in. I caught the end of that. So I said, yeah, because I agree with whatever you said.
Yeah, it's beeping like crazy. What is that
sound? It's beeping? What's beeping?
Yeah, it's like. That's how we call the show, friends. That is Rings of Power coming in. I can't even hear Lane talk anymore. That is literally them coming down to shut this show down. That is how much they cannot stand the trolling.
Can you hear me now?
What's going on over here? So with that,
can you hear me?
Thanks so much. I can't hear you at all. And
what the heck, dude?
And we will talk to you guys next time. Sorry about the beeping. Frodo lives, and Glorfindel was in the Second Age. Don't forget that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.